Well, do you ever get songs stuck in your head that you really don't want to be there? I asked some people during the week, and the parents said kids' songs are the ones that get stuck in their head, that they really don't want to be there. The incessant, again and again. Like, if you know the tune for Peppa Pig, if you get that stuck in your... Sorry, Trudy. There you go. Case in point. You don't want it to be there, but it's there. It's like a splinter that gets lodged and you just can't get it out. The other kinds of songs that people mentioned are those that they hear once and the lyrics are so catchy that they learn it, but they don't want to. So, look, you're listening to the radio, something comes on, and you're going, I did not need to hear that. You realise like 5 seconds too late, I did not need to hear that, but I've got the riff or whatever it is, the word stuck in my head. And I'm just, oh no, I don't need that going around my head, whatever it might be. I mean, songs, you think of when ABBA's Money, Money, Money comes on. It's so memorable, but you don't want to be going around going money, 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 money. Like, it's, you don't need that. It's not helpful. But it's so memorable, it's difficult not to forget it. Well, the worst songs, certainly that I've found, are those that I've chosen to learn. I've been drawn to them because of the singing or the amazing melodies or the orchestras that accompany the singer. So I've learned them. I've chosen to learn them by heart. But then when I've actually thought about the words 5, 10 years later, I've realised just how untrue, how false, how wrong the words are. I mean, Frank Sinatra's got a great voice, but I don't need to sing I Did It My Way. But it comes onto the radio, you get sucked in by the music, and then before you realise it, you're singing I Did It My Way, and I'm going, no, that doesn't help anyone at all. Or I remember as a young man, I learnt Burt Bacharach's, is it Wives and Lovers? That is a really unhelpful song for you, a young man, for anyone to hear, because it talks about wives should always be lovers too, and the wives should run to the husband's arms when he comes home, and wives should be careful because the men will always be men and there'll always be girls at the office. And you're thinking, I don't need that. How wrong is that? What kind of a view of... I mean, what does that say? I mean, Bert's singing about women are there to serve me. Wives are there to serve... I mean, this gets ingrained in our society, ingrained in our heads, and we're thinking, actually, that's wrong. That's abusive. But the melody is so... I mean, it draws the strings and whatever, but we've got to think about what we're singing and why we're singing it and what we're joining in with, and also, what kind of songs are we teaching our kids? What are we letting them listen to? There's some frightening lyrics when you listen to some songs today, and you're just going, oh, I do not need my 6-year-old daughter learning this. I do not need my 7-year-old sons or my 4-year-old sons listening to this rubbish. Well, before us in Psalm 1 is a song that we would do so well to get stuck in our heads. It will serve us, it will bring us life, it will nourish us, it will help us to grow. It will help us to give glory to God. But often learning good songs is more difficult than learning the bad ones. And so this psalm acts as kind of a corrective, as wisdom that we would do well to listen to. And it's there, as you read it, do not listen to the advice of scoffers, but rather be wise. Avoid what is wrong, seek what is true. Well, this song promises blessedness. In fact, the first word, happy or blessed, is the one who does these things. I mean, that first word sings of God's desire, God's purpose, God's intent for his people to know him and to be blessed, to be happy, to delight in him and what he has done in making them his child. And actually, tonight at 5 o'clock, at the service at 5, Keith Morris is going to be opening up something from the first letter that John wrote, in which he's going to talk about adoption, how God adopts us and makes us his children. And it's wonderful news. If you can come, please do. Well, Psalm 1 sings of God's desire for his people. And it is, in a way, the gateway to the Psalms. You go through Psalm 1 and the wonder of the Psalms is sort of opened up to you. If you try and get into the Psalms another way, or if you don't listen to what Psalm 1 has to say about coming into the Word, you'll actually miss out on the joy and the greatness of the Psalms. But Psalm 1 in and of itself is not really a prayer, but it is a meditation on meditation. It's thinking about the process by which the truth in God's Word not only goes to our head, but sinks deep into our hearts. Meditation is that process that takes knowledge and turns it into truth. Well, no, it takes a truth and it enters us and shapes and transforms how we live, how we talk, what we look forward to, what we long for, and much, much more. Well, let me turn to it myself. And without meditation, without considering the truth or how we think through God's word, we'll actually be found lacking. Well, Psalm 1 promises us three things when we meditate on the truth. If this morning, however, you are not a Christian, it's wonderful that you're here. But I invite you to think about what God promises to his people when they trust in him by immersing themselves into his word. And if you are a Christian, then rejoice and delight with me at what God promises us when we do. Three S's. The first promise is that of stability. The person who meditates on God's word is like in verse 3, a tree planted by streams of water. So they have roots in the most reliable source of life there is, and from there they grow. They are established, they are secure, they are safe. So whatever winds may come and try and topple them, whatever waves might seek to overwhelm them, whatever droughts there might be in their lives, they can remain firm because they are deeply rooted in God. The tree is a wonderful picture in and of itself. And if you take anything away from this morning, please just have that picture of a tree with deep roots, the person with deep roots in God. And so, of course, as the psalm makes clear, because poetry and its point tells us what it is, the streams of water represent the law of the Lord, and they are what gives life, brings delight. Now, when we think of law, we think of police enforcing the law, or legislation, or rules, or commands. But when the Bible speaks about the law of the Lord, while it can mean the rules and regulations and so on, it's usually a broader term for the whole of God's word. I mean, think about it this way. The Bible tells us who God is and what his will is for us. It tells us his law that we are to listen to and hear. And it is a good law because he is a good God. And so the law of the Lord is what the psalmist delights in. They are seeped in the word, they have roots in the word, and it gives them life. So meditation then is drinking deep from God. And this will give you stability and peace even when there's upheaval. You might think of various people throughout the scriptures, like Job. He loses everything, his wife, his children, his livelihood, his livestock. He loses everything. And yet, despite all of that, he falls before the Lord and worships him and said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." He has such secure such deep roots in God that despite what takes place, his eternity, he knows, is with God, who is stable, who cannot be shaken, whose word is solid and concrete and there and present. So meditation will sustain you, meditation on God's word. But not so the wicked. There's a striking contrast, isn't there? Those who meditate on God's word are like trees, but the wicked, like chaff, and it blows. It goes wherever the wind goes. It does not know where it is going. It's easy sometimes to go with the flow. A new fashion comes in. Oh, I need to join in. Or a new trend. Or a new drink. Or a new TV series. And it's easy just to go with the flow and do what everybody else is doing. But that is like being blown around by the wind and going wherever the wind blows. It doesn't go anywhere. We need to be so grounded in God that when things come our way, when we are pressured to do what our peers are doing, that we remain solid in God and act out of that security, not out of insecurity. But notice as well how the picture is developed and the realism in verse 3. The trees will bear fruit in its season, in due course. At the right time, it will bear fruit. And its leaf does not wither. So meditation brings stability and security, but it does not promise immunity from harm, or from suffering, or from pain, or from loss. Meditation is not the instant joy or the quick answer to a perfect life. Instead, it says, despite this life, you can have security in God, despite what is taking place to you, what is happening to you. It's wonderful to know that if I'm being attacked, or if I'm suffering from something, or if I hear bad news, my eternal security is not in those things that are happening to me, but in what God has done in planting me in himself. God is a tree, and he wants us to be in him, to be rooted and grounded in him. We can expect God to sustain us from his word. We might feel dry, but deep down at the end of the day, our confidence is in him, not in us. Well, the second promise from the psalm is substance. Chaff cannot produce anything, it just blows away, it's useless. But a tree that is growing and living, and it can bear fruit. And so those who meditate on the truth have firm foundations to stand on. They don't topple when something comes their way. They have access to the truth, and being nourished by the truth, they stand in it. And delight in being immersed in such security and stability. It enables them to have substance and have deep convictions. One Christian writer observes how those who meditate on God's word can explain difficult concepts in simple language when talking about the Bible. They have good reasons behind everything that they do. But many do not meditate. They skim everything, picking and choosing on impulse, having no thought-out reasons for their behaviour, living on whims as they see fit, and leading shallow lives. Have you ever known someone who you can see is living the wrong way? But however much you try and tell them they're living the wrong way, they'll just keep living that way, and they'll keep destroying themselves or destroying other people. And it's just, they just keep causing more and more destruction in the decisions they make, the choices they make. It's hard to know how to encourage such people. I mean, and then you see it in yourself as well every now and again. You think, what was I thinking? To have firm foundations in God means that instead of just going where we feel we should go or where we think we should go, we can come back to God and say, God, what do you think? It's like coming back to a perfect, loving father and saying, Father, what do I do in this situation? What is the wise decision? If we don't have our roots in God, we won't have that relationship, that place from which we can grow and be alive and be nourished and be strong. If we turn in on ourselves or trust in ourselves, we'll destroy ourselves. And to drink deep of God means that there will come a time when we will bear fruit. And these could be the fruits of the Spirit, as Paul talks about: love, joy, peace, patience, humility, self-control. Don't you want more self-control? Don't you wish you didn't burst out in rage at the smallest of things? I do. Lord, give me self-control. Lord, remind me of your truth that I might not be angry, not feel rage. But my security is in you, and I have peace with you, and I do not need to be angry. And when such fruits start to come, that person will become reliable and trustworthy and stable and secure. Things might not work for them. They might not have a job. They might have cancer. They might be in difficult relationships. They might have those things, but they have grounding. They have means in order to have substance and to have character. So the tree is not merely a channel of water, bringing water from one place to another, but a tree is an organism that drinks deep and allows that wonderful water to nourish them and to help them to grow. And in due course, in God's own time, he will bring forth fruit, good fruit, in that man or woman, boy or girl. Well, such stability and such substance gives us a wonderful song to sing. To meditate is to grow in that relationship with God. Now, notice that the tree is not responsible for its growth. The tree was planted there, planted in the living waters. Think about what God does when he saves a person. The person does not save themselves, but God takes that person out of darkness and brings them into his light, into his sun. God plants that person into himself, and from there that person grows. Think of how Jesus says, I am the true vine. Abide in me as I abide in you. You are cut off the tree of death and you are grafted into the tree of life. Or think about how he says to the woman at the well in John 4, I offer you living water. He's talking about himself. Or think about how he says, I am the bread of heaven. Eat of me and you will never hunger and thirst. There are so many wonderful promises that Jesus makes which speak of God who saves us to himself. We do not plant ourselves in him, he plants us in him. And I even found out that the word that's used, that we have translated planted, is the word transplanted. That speaks of a gardener cutting us off from somewhere and sticking us somewhere where we will grow. So you cannot be a Christian without the Word, without Jesus, without God saving you from darkness into light. Now, this is a song worth singing. This is something that we can delight in when we realize that there's nothing that we could ever do to save ourselves, and yet God comes and takes us for his own. He adopts us as his own child. And that joy grows from meditating on his word. And in the coming weeks, as we'll meditate on Psalms 2-8, we'll hear of God flooding his people with strength when they feel weak. We'll hear how God walks beside those who are betrayed by their loved ones and who suffer. We hear of God's eternal promises that he makes to his people, that his people can hold fast to, whatever their circumstances might be. And we'll also see the Lord Jesus. In fact, we must see the Lord Jesus in the Psalms, in all of Scriptures, in fact. Otherwise, we'll miss what the Psalms point us to, or who the Psalms point us to. Just think about Psalm 1. Psalm 1 tells us to meditate on God's truth. But when a godly man or woman does this, they realize a confronting reality. As they expose themselves to what is pure, what is good, what is true, they realize at the same time what is not true in them, what is not pure in them. As they expose themselves to the bright light that is God, they see the stain of their sin on them, in them. And it would be possible to read someone and think, I cannot meditate on God's word because it exposes me to what is true. I am a sinner and God is holy. And at such times, it is easy to fall into despair. But remember the Lord Jesus who says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you realize how dirty you are, how sinful you are before God, you are poor in spirit. And God is able to work through your weakness and bring you to himself. Now, he does that by providing us with his Son, the Lord Jesus. And when we look to Jesus, we see the central figure of the whole of the Bible, the one whom all the scriptures point to. We see the one who is literally, as John says, the Word made flesh. We see one who perfectly keeps God's law and who perfectly delights in God. And we need him to do that for us. We do that by looking to him and trusting in him when he says, come to me and be found in me. And when we are found in the Lord Jesus, the blessedness that we have from God is not based on what we do, but on everything that he has done for us. Jesus is one who delights in the law of the Lord and who keeps it perfectly. And while we can never keep it perfectly, we look and trust in the one whom we have been grafted into. And in this we delight. And when we are grafted into Jesus, we can stand. We can stand firm when judgment day comes. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he has done for us. So, friends, let Jesus be your delight. Let his word dwell in you. Let him dwell in you as you dwell in him. And you will be a tree planted by streams of water, whose leaf does not wither and who will bear fruit in due course. Let me read the psalm again to you. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. For they are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither, and in all they do they prosper. But not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor will such sinners be in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Well, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you that you not only reveal your goodness and your glory to us in your word and your Son, but your Son also calls us to himself to be found in him. Lord, thank you for saving us from our stains, from our sin, and washing us with the living water. Lord, as you have saved us and made us your children, help us as your children to hear you speak to us in your word. Help us to expect you to be at work in our lives as we meditate on your truth. Help us to rejoice at everything that you have done for us that we have done nothing to deserve. And help us to rejoice when we see you at work in our lives by your Spirit. Lord, continue to grow us, both individually and as your people, that we might continue to bear fruit and bring glory to your name that is above all names. And we pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord. Amen. Amen.